Hello there, you amazing people, and welcome to the Amazing Action Comics podcast, where we are all about independent comics. I'm one of your hosts, Angel, with John Pepe.
How's it going, Angel?
Holy shit, it feels like it's been forever.
It kind of has.
And you know what? I'm going to put all the blame on me. So the last couple of weeks have been super hectic, and so we just had a skip. And you know, I asked John to step up and do the podcast solo, but he felt the dynamic would just be missing.
It would have been awful. Yeah,
and I praise him for that, because you know what? Sometimes people just want to they'll step up knowing that they fucking don't have the whole heart in it, and they'll fucking just crash. And it would have been good to see you crash, but I'm glad you freaking declined.
Oh, there's a whole audio hour of that from about a year ago on my other podcast where I tried to do it solo for an hour and it was just not good. One of the things, and why you brought me in too, was that, you know, when you're reviewing a book, it's better to have that back and forth. Otherwise, you're just kind of talking in a void, right? And
yes.
We have a good interaction, and I always love bouncing things back about books between the two of us. So yeah, that one day I was just like, I can't do it. I was like, oh my God. I was like that hour by myself that one time on my other thing. I was like, I can't do it anymore. No.
Well, it's all good. We got there.
I'm surprised you didn't blame it on the family.
Yeah, partial. But it's just me. Oh. It's all good. I think we're finally settling in. You know what? It's the end of the summer.
Yeah.
It's 110% blame on my daughter, and her whole soccer thing. So, and I don't know how people do it with like more than two kids.
Right,
like if
right.
you have, we have one, and she plays in like multiple leagues, and then she had high school stuff starting at the end of the summer. You know, tryouts and all that stuff, and then it's full on, and I'm like, fuck it. People that have like two or three kids that are all playing sports something, like I feel guilty if I'm not at practices are all right, but like if I'm not at a game. So if you're a parent of multiple kids and you got games going on at the same time, you have to do sort of like rock, paper, scissors to see who's going to go to which game and stuff like that. So yeah, it's like having three cats.
Yeah, well, cats don't have soccer matches, so that's it. All them a soccer match. So,
but they fight for your attention, so they know do. Which one they you love the most.
Oh yeah. We brought the third cat in, and it's the integration is going a little slow. Hulk is a little he's not crazy about the new cat.
He just wants to smash everything.
hit her, and so.
So yeah. The good news is that high school is off. I think all kids are back in school, so everything should be kind of sort of like going back to normal.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to find our new time slot on Fridays in the mornings, which I think hopefully will work with that. So, all right, with that being said, we are back. So look for us weekly. We're back in, and we're starting with the indie comic review. So we have a couple of books that I was going to say Phil Bro so
bad. That's okay. It's okay. I still expect to hear it at the beginning. So.
Oh, man. So, yeah. So, you got a couple of books that you read and just want to quickly go over because they're worth mentioning.
Yeah.
And then we'll go right into the books for this week.
Sure.
Which would be for September 8th or September 6th, actually, because today is the 8th. All right. Yeah. Rock and roll.
So, really quick, from last week, I believe there was a new book from Massive. Or Whatnot, which is now Massive. And I had shied away from the Whatnot Massive output because it all seemed very video game focused and really in your face kind of stuff. And, you know, it just didn't really appeal to me. But this is called The Plot Holes, and it is by Sean Murphy. Sean Murphy of White Knight fame for the DC Pantheon, punk rock Jesus, just a great, amazing artist, great creator, great sensibility. This was colored by Matt Hollingsworth and Dave Stewart, lettered by Andworld, edited by Clay McCormick. And boy, this is a really cool book. Definitely check this out. In a nutshell, basically there is this team of literary characters who go through every sort of manuscript that is actively being written or conceived of, and they wipe out any plot holes. It's the sort of the Sean Murphy stand-in gets pulled into this team. Really cool concept, really great characters, gorgeously intricately illustrated by Sean. Really dig this. There's also a really cool preview in the back. Sean Murphy's going to be doing a Zorro series. So I always like his takes on traditional series, heroes. So a little black and white preview for Zorro Man of the Dead coming soon. So I'm looking forward to that. But boy, plot holes. Really good first issue. Great setup. Well-paced. Really, really neat concept. Really dug this. So.
Yeah, he's really is one of those rare like writer artists. So, I mean, there's a bunch of them out there, but there's some that are just really good. And he's one of them that are actually really good.
I just love his style, too. His line work, it's scratchy, but clean. You know, it's really good. Then there was this book from Image, KLC Press imprint. It is called The Schlub. And that is co-written by Ryan Stegman, the artist, who had to finish writing Vanish, which he was illustrating when Donny Cates had his really bad car accident, apparently. Mm. Co-written Ryan Stegman and Kenny Porter, illustrated by Tyrell Cannon, colors by Mike Spicer, letter design John J. Hill, and I can't find the editor right here, but it's Image Jam. I kind of like the concept on this a lot. The artwork is very, very cartoony and a little over the top, which is I think lends itself to the material really well. This guy is a dentist. And yeah, you open up inside this patient's mouth. He is very much a schlub, and it's sort of like a body swap thing, like, you know, that was really popular in the 80s when dads would swap bodies with their sons and moms would swap bodies with their daughters, and they would have to, a confusion would ensue. Very Freaky Friday. But a twist, so this is sort of like a reverse Captain Marvel Shazam kind of thing, where the schlub winds up entering into the body of the hero and really just is not built to be a hero mentally, and just I don't know, the really good setup, really quick issue. So I think as this goes on and expands and we see what kind of trouble this dentist is going to get into as he takes advantage of this being in this hero's body, I think it'd be really interesting read. Like I said, really fun hook on that that concept. Mm. Finally, and I'm already calling it, man, book of the year, Dwellings. Dwellings.
Okay.
So when you had me do some of the podcasts while you were on vacation, because I didn't want to review anything by myself, my friend Tom Palmer Jr. came out of semi-retirement to review some books with us, and he put this on my radar at the end of the show. He said he had backed the Kickstarter for this and was waiting for this to come out. Boy, he was on the mark on this one. 72 pages, $9.99 an issue, coming out every 3 months, three issues total. So you cost average about $5 a month. You get two stories per. It is straight up horror by Jay Stevens, and it is done in this awesome sort of Casper the Friendly Ghost, Harvey Comics style. But the horror is real and really well executed. Kind of one of those things where, like, you're like in your head, you're like, wait a minute. As you're reading, you're like, does that connect to that I just saw a few pages ago? And then it's like you read the next panel and it's like, oh, it does connect, you know? So when you have a question and the author kind of validates that question as it comes up in your head, I love that. I love when that can happen. And he also recreates a lot of these old style comic ads. But what's really cool is they're part of the story. So it's like she's going to a doctor for help, or she's going to a police officer to talk as one character in the second story about what's going on. The police officer hands her this brochure of like, oh, well, maybe you need to see a shrink, a doctor about what's going on in your head. And then this brochure is like this old comic ad, right? So it's like the juxtaposition is really strange, but it works so well. And yeah, if you come across these ads, they are part of the story. So you really do want to read those as you come across them in the story. Also, one of my favorite things about this is it gave me a new term for crows. I will forever now be calling crows Halloween Eagles. So there you go. Dwellings from Oni Press and Jay Stevens. It is a winner. It is just such a great book. Again, if you like horror and cutesy art, definitely do it. But do bear in mind, it is definitely not for kids or cowards. As it says right up there.
There you go. So. All right, cool. Well, you got me intrigued because I had just like flipped through it and I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to read another kid's book, but I totally missed the concept on that one. So yeah, I'm going to have to go back and read that one.
It is not a kid's book at all. That's cool.
All right, cool. All right, so we're kind of caught up on the last couple of weeks there, guys. There is some good stuff out there. Now we're moving into these the books for this week, which is September 6th. And I think we have three books on deck. So I'm going to let you start. So I hit the middle of the sandwich and then you can finish off.
All right. Very good. So I'm going to start with this from Dark Horse called Tear Us Apart. Great cover. I love that. This is co-written by actor Jay Baruchel and Van Jensen. Van Jensen did a bunch of, you know, a lot of stuff for DC, I think, during the late New 52 Rebirth era. Jay Baruchel, actor, he was in, I think, This Is the End and a bunch of other stuff. We've always said if they ever made a big budget version of that independent movie I did 20 years ago called Stash, Jay Baruchel would be playing my part if they, he's a big budget version of me. Illustrated by Alessandro Michelli, lettered by Tyler Esposito, edited by Brett Israel and assistant editor Sanjay Dharawat. So this is a really, really neat concept. You're kind of just thrown into this world, where it does feel like it is a post-apocalyptic future. And you basically have a bunch of these kids that are being brought up and trained for violence. And it, it is really just a violent society. There's no room for mercy, compassion, and especially love in this world. But of course, this one kid and this girl, this one boy and this one girl do build a connection from when they're very young. I think they were both exiled to the pit because they did something wrong. And that's where they started this bond. It is carried through them over the next 10 years. And there is a inciting incident where it is a test that could wind up being a sacrifice. And one saves the other, which is very forbidden. And then they are both on the run from this society of killers that they were raised among. Really cool concept. There's a neat text page in the back by Van Jensen that talks about how this book came to be. It's in the horsepower section in the back there. And it actually, what one big revelation is that this actually does not take place in a dystopian future. This takes place in like around the mid 90s, he said, because he really wanted that connection, because I guess as they break away from their secret society, they're going to kind of go into the real world or the, you know, the exposed world. And they're going to have some, a lot of 90s touchstones. The least of which would be the title Tear Us Apart, which is, he says, from the Joy Division song, Love Will Tear Us Apart. And he has a good thing. He goes, this story is, imagine if Romeo and Juliet had people getting their faces punched off. And it's kind of what it is, man. It is star-crossed lovers who are forbidden from being together, and then they are violently pursued. And what's really neat is the whole thing. Color scheme is this sort of gray, blue, white, you know, tone. The artwork is great. There's a lot of great movement and kinetic energy in the art. And then anytime there's blood, that's what you get. You get all these splashes of blood. So it's great because this kind of reads like a flashback. It is really purely prologue, and the art style kind of reflects that. So I really kind of like that. That as visually, you know, okay, this is a prologue. This is a setup. This is a, you know, the story before the story begins is the sense that I got from this first issue. So I really dug it. I really want to see where it's going. Tear Us Apart from Dark Horse. Some pretty good stuff. I liked it.
Awesome. All right, cool. Check it out, guys. I got the next one. I have to say that I was, when I looked at it on the shelf or when I saw it coming out, I kind of rolled my eyes because the last couple of, I guess, series that have come out have been somewhat under par from what I've expected from this series. So this one is Masters of the Universe, Destiny of Four. Holy shit, do I like this book a lot more than I should. All right, so stories by Tim Seeley, who was another writer-artist.
Yeah, just finished up Local Man, right? Was that was he?
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
I think the special just came out too, and I think I missed it because we were sold out, but I got to get a copy of that. Art by Eddie Nunez, color by Brad Simpson, and letters by Ann World Design. So this is a prequel to the Netflix TV show, The Revelation stuff. I wish I didn't know that. I hate when I know that it's prequels because it doesn't matter what happens in the story. You know what's coming later on. So it's always in my head. However, with that being said, The 80s cartoon was probably one of my favorites. And we've spoken about it before, like all that rotoscope stuff, and they use the stock footage over and over and over. And as a little kid, I'm like, what? It came out in 80s, mid 80s, right?
Early to mid 80s, yeah.
So I'm about 10, 11 years old at that time. And just every time it was on, just watching it. So if we look at the art in here, the art itself is really, it emulates sort of like that 80s style, but more updated to now. So if we take the art from the 80s and we just kind of step it up just one notch, and that's what we're looking at in this book, which I love. I don't like when they just make the art just something completely different from like the original itself. Mm-hmm. So this is sort of like, to me, an homage to that 80s style. In the art. So Eddie did a really great job capturing the essence of each one of the characters. The designs, I mean, He-Man looks ridiculous. just awesome. And basically you're looking at a story of almost like a year one for He-Man. So this is where Adam gets the powers. Don't know how. So it's not an origin story. I almost feel like we're due for one. I think we need a complete reboot of the Masters of the Universe. Just because it's sort of been like a shitstorm from the beginning, hasn't it? I mean, you got the toy that came out first, then stories came out, then there's been revisions of the stories, and then obviously it was just a cash cow for all making new toys, and the story's always been secondary. So I think it's a good opportunity to kind of like step back and sort of give us an origin reboot of the character and then make these stories that come out of it. I mean, we've gotten Skeletor as, you know, He-Man or Adam's uncle, transferring over to that, and then the whole series with Horvath that came out through what's-her-face, She-Ra. So there's a whole like huge universe out there. I think if they did sort of like what's this guy's name, the Walking Dead guy,
Kirkman.
Yeah, Kirkman's doing with the Energon-verse.
Yes.
Then that would be awesome. It's sort of like this middleman kind of story that brings the story of He-Man, maybe something else. I don't know. Well, we've got to get it together. It's still under Mattel, isn't it?
Mattel does still have the He-Man license, yeah.
So, and this is from Dark Horse. So, I mean, Dark Horse has been doing some great stuff. And so whatever they license out stuff, I really like what Richardson's doing over there. So he's got a really good, you know, set of creators on this particular book. But like I said, you're looking at a prequel to Revelations. If you've seen it, if you haven't seen it, basically you have sort of like this year one story of He-Man. So you got to, he's kind of green at everything that he's doing. And he's kind of balancing learning how to be Adam and He-Man while keeping his secret. Because obviously we know that it's the Sorceress, Man-at-Arms, and Orko that know who he is. And Teela, who's his bodyguard at the moment, he has to keep things from her. And he's like really close to telling her because of all the stuff that's going on. But basically, you have Skeletor going across Eternia, trying to gather forces to increase his power so that he can take over Grayskull. But you got sort of like this really cool background on King Grayskull. So I think we're going to get some kind of story that builds up into how Grayskull came to be. And then you have sort of like this make-believe Philomista, whatever it is, this sort of like liquid metal that can be forged into anything that you want that's extremely powerful. And there's this balance between magic and advanced science that they're trying to maintain, the Sorceress. And then there's this other like land that they're talking about. And then there's this really cool, like intricate plot that Skeletor sends evil in on, you know, to try to find out, it's called Antwar, I believe, is this advanced civilization. So the king, Randor, is going across Eternia, knowing that Skeletor is trying to build up forces to overtake Eternia. So he's going out to stipulants to make sure that they're staying loyal to King Randor so they can maintain the balance. And so while he's out, Skeletor sends evil in to, you know, find out what this city has, so that King Randor wants to protect, so that he can take it in and for his own use. And so there's a really good setup. I don't want to give it all the way away at the very end that is forcing the queen of Antwar to now take stake and go against King Randor, which was really good. Sucks that I know that it's a prequel because I know how it's going to end, but really good setup for really good storytelling and drama, because it looks like we are going to lose some people along the way. which would be awesome. But like I said, the art, the coloring are really good. The storytelling just really succinct with what you would get from the 80s. You know, even like when I'm reading Orko, I hear Orko's voice. when I hear Cringer talking, I hear Cringer's voice. Really good stuff. The one thing that I will say that I really, and I'm always looking for different things from an artist perspective, that a book will bring out. And what Nunes did in this book that I really, really, really enjoyed were his hands. Now, let me explain. Now, a lot of times you're looking at artists and you're looking at the facial expressions that they're making so that you can kind of like tell the emotion of what that character is feeling at the moment, along with the word bubbles that you're reading. When it comes to the hands, most of us talk with our hands. So he puts them in these positions where you know exactly from their body language how they're feeling at that particular time. Cool. So whether they're angry, whether they're disappointed, or whether they're surprised, the gestures of the hands are not wasted, which is crazy because oftentimes we look at most of these pictures, we're not focusing on the hands or anything like that. But they're so prominent and they're put in positions along with the body dynamic that just makes it stand out. And I went back and I flipped through every single one of the pages looking for a hand that was useless and not one. So when he didn't want to have them, they were just off the panel, or they were sheathed away underneath a cloak or something. Mm-hmm. But whenever they were exposed, they were expressive, just as expressive as the face. So, Eddie, dude, you get my props this week for drawing the best hands or making them as part of the character. Because they're very much expressive themselves. So, yeah. So, Masters of the Universe, Forge of Destiny. If you enjoyed Revelations, definitely check it out. Like I said, it's a prequel. If you didn't, you'll still, if you're a Masters of the Universe fan, this one is definitely worth. I mean, the last one that I read that I really enjoyed, I think sort of was the what was it called? It was the evil He-Man that was hopping around. It was almost like the movie The One, where he's killing off all the He-Man so that he could become the most powerful one. And I liked it. It was interesting. But then when it had the Revelations come out, it was just like, it was okay. But this sort of like goes back to the roots. And I love the whole idea of a year one He-Man. Because there's going to be some stumbling. Like he doesn't understand his full power set. And there's a moment in the pages where Sorcerer says, well, you know you can do this, right? And he goes, oh. And then he does it, which is great. So there's a learning on there. And I think there's going to be some big consequences because we have Skeletor, who is sort of like in his year one as well. But he's not like the bumbling fool idiot. He's really sort of like a tactical mastermind. So they stepped him up a little bit, which I really like. So, yeah, check it out from Dark Horse. You guys won't be disappointed.
Very cool. Yeah, I like that idea of giving He-Man the year one treatment as well. I think that's something that hasn't necessarily been there with the character since the cartoon show and the Prince Adam kind of stuff. It just always was just there, and you just go, you know. And I like the idea of seeing him kind of learn and kind of grow like that, and kind of streamlining the origin, because like you said, they didn't know right away what He-Man was going to be, and the toys had a different origin, and then the DC Comics came in and that introduced the Prince Adam concept, and that was rolled right into the cartoon show. So yeah, I like this idea of kind of a rebuilding using what has already been established. I like that.
Right. Yep.
All right, one more. Yeah. Hunt for the Skinwalker from Boom Studios.
It just sounds dirty.
And this is written by Zach Thompson, illustrated by Valeria Berzo, colored by Jason Wordy, lettered by Joe Sabino, and it is edited by John Moyson, assistant editor Carolyn Butler. It is based on the book Hunt for the Skinwalker by Dr. Colm A. Keller and George Knapp. And Keller and Knapp actually have a text piece right at the back there that sort of explains what this is. So Skinwalker Ranch is a very famous thing in paranormal community, right? There are many, many shows and documentaries all about Skinwalker Ranch. This is bringing it back to the book that those guys wrote about 20 years ago that introduced people to what was going on at Skinwalker Ranch. So this mostly takes place in 1996. You have a rancher who buys this ranch and is, you know, basically him and his wife put all of their savings into buying this ranch. This is like their last chance to do something, and they go all in, and all sorts of weird things start happening on this ranch, including what it looks like to them are, you know, UFOs, right? Cattle mutilations were a big part of this. And just all sorts of weird, creepy stuff going on. And so this four-issue miniseries is retelling the true story of what happened at this ranch in Utah in the mid-90s. And it even has a flashback back to 1977 that sort of establishes that there has been something weird and off and wrong about this ranch for decades. And so I've always kind of been aware of the Skinwalker Ranch. I've always known about what a Skinwalker is as far as Native American history. Basically, they're evil witches that can take on the shape of any animal. And they are never good. They are always malevolent, right? And so I didn't realize going in that this was going to be a retelling of the actual historical event, which is great for someone like me who just knows of it, but has never actually delved into it because there's so much out there and so much of it looks like it's kind of BS too, right? Mm-hmm. So, and they kind of mentioned that in that postscript that the original authors of the book write. That, yeah, since they wrote that book, it just opened up this whole industry. And he says, look, some of the stuff that's out there is not necessarily factual or legit or valid. But when they wrote the book, they strive for accuracy and did, you know, extensive research. And so, again, this is a new presentation of this old story in comic form. And it works, man. It does really work. It is the art is sufficiently atmospheric and moody. The coloring works really well. The art style reminds me very much, you know, the color change for the flashbacks to that sort of like sepia thing. And then, you know, really popping in the modern day. The alien design, the alien ship designs are really neat. And just the weirdness is captured very well in the art. Reminds me a lot of the art in I Hate This Place. So it's kind of interesting that I Hate This Place was sort of like a Skinwalker Ranch type story on steroids. So to kind of have this, you know, narrowed focus with a similar art style is really nice. So if you really liked I Hate This Place, check this out. If you really like James Tynion and Michael Avon Oman's Blue Book that retold the Betty and Barney Hill abduction story, then you're going to like this because this is, again, right in that same milieu, same genre. You're dealing with aliens, weird creatures, possibly, you know, ancient, you know, Native American evil witches, and just some really cool, weird, goofy stuff. I love the cover. It's very Dave McKean-esque or Ben Templesmith. I just kind of love like the alien figures in there. But yeah, inside is well worth it. Again, if you only have a moderate interest or knowledge of the Skinwalker Ranch stuff or are heavily steeped into it, you're going to want to check this out.
Cool. All right. Sounds good, bro. Yeah. All right. So there you have it. Three good books that we recommend for this week. I'm just glad they were good. Mm-hmm. You got Tear Us Apart from Dark Horse. You've got Masters of the Universe, Forged Destiny, also from Dark Horse, and Hunt for the Skinwalker from Boom Studios. So we'll definitely be back next week. We've got some great stuff going on as well over here at Action, Amazing Action Comics. I just got word from Justin the other day that Julian is almost done with the second part of Red Hyena.
Cool.
Which I'm really excited about because they're 40 plus pages of two parts of a book. So he's been really going at it, and we're up to it's eight, but it's volume 2, issue 3. And Randy's trugging along as well. So we're hoping to have these stuff done by October and out there. So definitely visit AmazingActionComics.com to stay up to date on that stuff. Subscribe to the podcast if you like what you're hearing. We're going to be back every week now at our new day and time. So 9 o'clock on Fridays, unless John decides to change his mind and then we'll do something else.
Or I oversleep. I'll probably oversleep at this hour.
We'll probably. If you're a creator and want to come onto the podcast to promote yourself and or something that you got going on, AmazingActionComics.com/podcast, fill out the form. Jenna and I would love to have you on. Make sure you visit AmazingActionComics.com. Stay up to date on everything that we got going on. And most importantly, please go to your local comic book shop. Support them so they stay in business, so we can keep reading comics and we can keep doing this every week. John, where do you get your books from?
I get my comics at The Joker's Child in Fairlawn, New Jersey. And boy, we got a lot of great stuff coming in as we gear up for Halloween time. So definitely be sure to check out our store. But of course, if you're not in Fairlawn, New Jersey, definitely check out your local comic shop. But you know, you can always find me and Angel over at The Joker's Child in Fairlawn, New Jersey.
There you go, guys. All right, guys. Until next week, please be amazing. Stay amazing and read something amazing.